If you have never had the pleasure of hearing that robot say to that young boy, "Danger, Will Robinson," or if you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, ask someone who's bald or gray-headed, and they will explain it to you during a break. That's from the TV show, of course, Lost in Space in the mid-60s, and that robot was a good robot. That robot, by the way, is not Robbie the robot. A lot of people think that's Robbie the robot. Robbie the robot looked very similar, but Lost in Space robot is not Robbie the robot. So we have preconceptions, all of us, about robots and automation, whether it's good or bad. Pew did a survey, and it showed what? We are conflicted. About half of us think AVs are going to decrease crashes, automobile crashes, while about, 39% say decrease, 30% say increase, the group is not sure, 56% would not ride in an AV, 44% would. So we're conflicted. What companies are doing the research and running these robot cars on the road? These are just some of the companies. And it seems like on a daily basis, more and more are joining. Recently, Toyota, which now calls its headquarters in the U.S., right in my neck of the woods, had to make a decision. Are we, Toyota, going to supply just the chassis that other companies are going to be automating? Or are we going to start doing it? And Toyota, just within the last few weeks, said we are going to automate ourselves so that we don't get lost and left behind. How do they work? How do AVs work? Well, this is Uber's AV, and you'll see it has a whole bunch of different sensors. LiDAR, what the heck is that? That is light pulses emitted, about 1.5 million light pulses per second. It's mapping using light pulses. There are benefits to that, but there are also limitations to that. More in a minute. Well, of course, they use GPS, don't they? Well, they use GPS, but guess what? Most of us don't realize GPS is only accurate to within a foot or two, not accurate enough to steer and control an AV car in and of itself. AV cars cannot run on GPS alone. They need supplemental. They need radar. That's radio waves. They need LiDAR sensors. That's light pulses. Like I said, about 1.4 million of them a second being beamed out there. And so here's another view of an AV. You'll see the LiDAR unit on top. It has traditional cameras, radar sensors, LiDAR units in front. And then it's got a computer, sometimes under the car, sometimes in the trunk. Here's yet another overview of the sensors. Lots of different sensors, LiDAR again, cameras, ultrasonic, which is obviously sound waves, radar, radio waves. And so you might think, as you look at all this vast array of sensors, what could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? We have redundancies. We have sensors. And by the way, read about GPS. You'll see it's in one room, basically, with just a couple of military guys guarding it. It's extremely vulnerable to hacking. Extremely. Hacking is a whole different issue, which we don't have time to get into today. So how does LiDAR work? Well, here is Delphi's version of it. Delphi is a manufacturer of automobile components, even today and in decades past, but they now make LiDAR sensors. And here's some of their touting of it. But you'll notice there's a deer behind that tree. Can LiDAR see the deer behind the tree? No. LiDAR sees what is in line of sight. When it's raining, sleeting, hailing, that confuses LiDAR because those particles in the air cause the light beams to reflect back sooner than they would. LiDAR helps the vehicle, the AV, stay in the correct lane on the road based on reading the paint stripes on the road. What about when a road has been resurfaced and not yet had the paint stripes painted? What about when there's construction? As you can see, if everything is perfect, then most of the time these systems work. But throw in one little wrench, and those of us who deal in catastrophes day in, day out that kill and maim people know that's how they happen. They happen when one little thing goes wrong. A foreseeable little thing, something just enough out of the ordinary causes the catastrophe, and that's what happens. NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, has five different levels of automation, and you'll see them there. Zero is the Model T in your grandfather's car and grandmother's car. Level four is fully automated. We're not there yet. We are now, today, transitioning between level two and level three. Zero is drivers in full control. Level four is computers in full control, and then we have everything in between. We are in what some call the mushy middle of partial autonomy. And I would suggest to you, it is the most dangerous level. And I wouldn't just suggest it to you. I'm getting ready to prove it to you through some case studies in just a minute. SAE, the Society of Automotive Engineers, they have, instead of five levels, six levels. And there's a level zero. That's why you see the highest level there is five, but they add up to six for you math majors. The SAE levels 4 and 5 are equivalent to the NHTSA level 4. They just combine them in NHTSA. And here's yet another chart showing them from no automation to full automation. That is the SAE. Those are the SAE levels broken down for you.